the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love and mercies toward us. Thank you for your presence in our lives and situations. Thank you for your power that is fighting our battles, giving us victories. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for all the answers we have gotten to our prayers. We thank you for how you always defend us as we fight our enemies. Thank you for always being there for us. Thank you for always meeting us at the point of our need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the peace we enjoy in our hearts and minds. Thank you for the dominion you have given to us over sin, over the works of the flesh, over the forces of darkness, even the rulers of darkness of this world. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the healing miracles your mighty hand has done in our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you for moving us forward on every side. Thank you for putting the enemy to shame, because what the enemy planned and intended to happen to us did not happen. Thank you, Lord, for putting the agents of darkness to shame. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We are here this morning to seek your face once again, to lay at your feet and to pray. And ask, O Lord, that you visit us with more. Visit us with fire. Visit us with grace. Do mighty things among us right here. Heal the sick. Set the captives free. Deliver the oppressed. Increase our faith. In the name of Jesus, let the word I'll be sharing with your people, let it prevail in their souls. Let them repent where necessary. Thank you, Father, for I know you're going to do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. We welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to be looking at a topic that says, mercy for the merciful. That's the topic we are going to be looking at. Mercy for the merciful. Mercy for the merciful. That's the topic we're going to be looking at. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 7. Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, many times we are quick to say, oh Lord, show me mercy. God, have mercy on me. We are quick to say that than to show mercy on people around us that really need our mercy. Yeah, if you can't show mercy to the people around you that needs your kindness and mercy, then don't think God will answer your prayer when you say, oh Lord, please show me mercy. Yeah, don't think God will answer that prayer. Yeah. In fact, if God is about to answer that prayer, and then Satan comes up with this verse and show it to the angel God has sent to answer the prayer, you prayed for mercy, and then Satan tells the angel, hasn't God said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Look at this. Look at this verse and look at the life of this person. You want to show mercy. Yeah. And if the angel carefully look at the scripture and then look at your life, how it aligns with the scripture, the angel can just return back to heaven with the mercy of God that has been given to him to show you all to perform in your life. Yeah. So we should be careful to show mercy. We should be careful enough to show mercy. If we want to get mercy from God, yeah, of course you might still be able to receive mercy from God in some measures, even when you have not shown anybody mercy. For instance, if you repent, let's say you are a sinner and then you repented, and then you say, oh Lord, I repent. Show me mercy. Forgive my sins. I surrender my life to you. Be my personal Lord and Savior. Yeah, because you repented, God, we show you mercy. Yeah, because you have to. Because of what Jesus did on the cross for you. So, he have to show you mercy and forgive your sins. Yeah, but don't think that that mercy that brings forgiveness of sins is going to cover all the things you need in your life. You know, we need a lot of things in our lives. We need a lot of divine help, divine interventions, divine visitations. We need transformation. So don't think that the mercy that gives salvation is enough for many other things that we need as Christians. Yeah, don't think that. Yeah, there are some things God expects from you to do first before he will show you some other kinds of mercies. Yeah, if you don't do those things, which those things are commanded in his scripture, if you don't do those things, you might not get some kind of mercies from God. Even though you are a child of God. That is, even though you are born again, failure to do certain things as commanded in the scriptures can shut the door of mercy to you and disqualify you from receiving certain mercies from God. So here it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful. So which means, if you are not merciful, you will not obtain mercy. Yeah. That's what it means. If you are not merciful, if you are not compassionate, if you don't show mercy to those that need it, you might not get mercy from God. Yeah. Or, I should say, you will not get mercy from God. Yeah, so this morning God is telling you to be merciful. Be merciful, then he will have mercy on you. Be merciful to human beings that you can see, people around you that you can see. Yeah, then you'll be able to get mercy from the God you cannot see. I pray that the Lord will help you. We're going to be looking at 4 points under this topic before we pray. Point number one, you are weakened if you cannot forgive. You are weakened if you cannot forgive. And I'm not the one that says that. It's the Bible that says you are wicked. That is, you're a wicked man. You're a wicked woman. You're a wicked brother. You're a wicked sister. If you cannot forgive. Now, let's look at it in the Bible. Yeah, because some of you will attack me that, what am I saying now? Why am I saying that? Why are you saying I'm wicked? Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. We're going to read. It's a long verse, and we're going to read it so that you will know how wicked you have been, especially those of you that cannot forgive. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35. Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servant. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. That is, the king ordered that this man and his entire family and all his possession be sold, so that that amount of money is owing 10,000 talents, which is a lot of money, so that amount can be paid. Verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now, I want you to pay attention. He was owing 10,000 talents. That amount of money, very huge amount of money, was forgiven him. Maybe we should find out how much that 10,000 talents is. I think New Living Translation gives us how much it is. I'm coming, let me find out. Matthew 21. Sorry, Matthew 18, 21. Okay. Yeah. New Living Translation said, let me read that verse 24 here. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. Yeah, that was what New Living Translation told us. You know, New Living Translation tries to make it easy for us to understand certain expression in the Bible. So that's why I use this translation to understand King James Version better. So here in New Living Translation, 10,000 talents here means millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. So that servant was owing the king millions of dollars. And he begged the king because he couldn't pay. And the king looked at him and felt compassion for him because he knows that in the next 20 years, he might not be able to pay those millions of dollars. Yeah, so he forgave him and said, well, don't collect anything from him again. I forgive him. Let him go. Now, but in verse 28, but when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. Yeah. He was just forgiven of millions of dollars. And then he left that place and went to another servant that was owing him just a few thousand dollars. Not even up to a million. Not, yeah. A few thousand dollars. I mean, this translation is comparing it to the currency that to the value of money that we spend today. Yeah. So imagine you were forgiven millions of dollars and then you went to start dragging someone by the throat that is holding you that is owing you just a few thousand dollars, maybe $2,000 or $3,000. Yeah, because it's not even up to $10,000, a few thousand dollars. Yeah, let me continue. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt would be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called him the man he had forgiven and said, "You evil servant." Now, if you read in King James Version, verse 32, Matthew 18, verse 32, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant." Yeah. So you can see why I said, you are wicked if you cannot forgive. You are a wicked person if you cannot forgive. O thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all that debt because thou desired me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. So you are a wicked person if you cannot forgive. Yeah, some people will say, "Don't you know what he did to me, what she did to me? Don't you know he raped me? Don't you know he molested me? Don't you know he abused me? Yeah, don't you know how much he did to me?" And you are saying I should forgive like that? Well, don't forgive. You are going to hell. Yeah, that's the fact. Yeah, well, whenever I counsel people, I don't hide the truth from them. Yeah, if you are looking at how much the person or how much someone hurts you, and then you are saying, because this hurt is so much, I will never forgive. Well, don't forgive. Just get ready for hell, because you are going to hell. There's no doubt about that. So just don't forgive. So I don't force people to forgive. Yeah. In fact, I don't beg people to forgive. Just don't forgive and get ready for hell. It's as simple as that. Do you know what you did to God? You are saying, don't you know how much he hurts me? How much he hurts me? Do you know how much you hurt God? Yeah. Do you know how much your ancestors hurt God? Yeah. Those things that you say, oh, it's just a little sin. Yeah, it's just a little sin. Do you know how much pain that thing you are saying is just a little sin? Do you know how much pain that thing caused God, or how much pain is inflicted on God's heart every time you commit that sin that you think is a little sin? Yeah. And yet God, in his mercy, forgive you. Yeah. I think some of us need to I don't know. I think God needs to open the eyes of some of you to see how much your lifestyle has been hurting God. How much pain you cause God just by living a carnal life, by living in the flesh, by living a sinful life. Or you say, it's just a small lie. Just tell a small lie. Do you know how much that small lie you told, how much it hurts God? Well, you can't know. Bible says your body is the temple of God. But then you just do anything with that body anyhow. And you think, God will show me mercy. I will just ask for forgiveness of sin. And then you just messed up your body. And do whatever you want with your body. And you think it's just okay like that with God. Of course, it's not okay with God. Yeah. Yeah. We deserve to be killed, considering how much we have hurt God. Yeah, we deserve this sentence. Yeah, they were considering how much our parents and ancestors hurt God. We all deserve this sentence. Yeah, but God, because of his mercies, forgave our sins. Overlooked those things. And now somebody now hurts you. And now saying, do you know how much she did? I can never forgive that person. Do you think it's easy for Jesus to die that kind of death on the cross? Yeah. Do you think it's easy? All the people in the Old Testament days, Even the most righteous of them could not enter heaven with all the righteousness. I don't know if you have thought about it before. The people in the Old Testament days, all, you know, they were given the law. Yeah, they were given the law. The law from Moses. All of them. They could not. I mean, they could not enter heaven. Even the most righteous of them could not. Yeah. Except there is some few that did not die. Yeah. I think Enoch did not die. Elijah did not die. Yeah. So all of them, they were kept in paradise, waiting for Jesus to die on the cross and release them. Yeah. Because when Jesus died and resurrected, all those believers in the Old Testament days that were locked up under the earth in paradise, because paradise was under the earth, they couldn't enter heaven. They couldn't ascend to heaven. So they had to wait. Even Samuel could not ascend to heaven. All of them had to wait till Jesus come and die. Even David, all of them, the most righteous of them, could not enter heaven. Yeah, so that tells you that despite the fact that many of them kept the law, that still could not wipe away their sins. Yeah, that still could not make them deserve heaven until Jesus had to die. Yeah, so when Jesus died, he now released them from where they were kept in paradise under the earth. So that was when paradise was shifted. When Jesus resurrected, paradise was shifted from under the ground to go up into heaven. Yeah, that could only happen after Jesus died. So to tell you that God cannot tolerate even the smallest sin. I mean, God cannot tolerate even the smallest darkness. Yeah. The tiniest darkness or tiniest sin. And that made him to send Jesus to die because he loved you. So it must require that Jesus die that type of death for your sins to be forgiven. Do you know the position of Jesus in heaven? Do you know that he is God himself and that he had to reduce himself to that point to die so that your sins can be forgiven? And then you think that is just okay or normal thing to be done? Is not normal and it should not happen. But if God can decide to do that because he just wants your sins to be forgiven, and then you are now finding it difficult to forgive someone else. Are you not wicked? You are very wicked. I'm telling you the fact. Yeah. It shows that you are very wicked. I mean extremely wicked. It shows that you have dishonored the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Yeah, in fact, it shows that you are saying you do not, you are saying that you are no longer worthy of that sacrifice. So, which means that all your sins that have been forgiven through the blood of Jesus, you will no longer be forgiven. That's what it means. Every time you fail to forgive another person that hurts you, it means all your sins that have been forgiven will be reversed. They will no longer be forgiven. That is what it means. And then it means any other sin you commit will not be forgiven. It's also in the scripture. Yeah. It says that if we do not forgive those that hurt us, our Heavenly Father will also not forgive us. Yeah, let me read that place for you. Your trespasses. Yeah. Neither will your Now, I believe you. You saw that scripture. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, the network was disconnecting. I believe you are still with me. Yeah, so I was saying if you connect Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15 with Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35, you're going to see how not forgiving others, I mean you not forgiving others, how it means that your own sins will not be forgiven. And how it also means that even those things God have already forgiven you, they will be reversed. I don't know if I'm getting my point. Yeah, you need to get this point very well when it comes to receiving mercy from God. That is why I'm taking, I'm dwelling so long on this point, number one. Yeah, because you have to understand it. If you're going to receive mercy from God, you have to understand the mind of God about forgiving others, forgiveness. You have to understand the standard of God concerning forgiveness. Yeah, it's very important that you understand if you want to get mercy from God. Yeah, so I'm going to take it all over again. Yeah, it said Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15 shows that if we don't forgive men their trespasses, our Father in heaven, God will not forgive our trespasses. I believe that is clear. I've read it. You can read it over there to Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Now, if you connect this with what Jesus said in Matthew 18, from verse 21 to 35, then you will also see that it is not only will your Father not forgive your sins if you fail to forgive others, it also means that the sins that God has forgiven you before will also be reversed. I don't know if you are getting the point. Even those sins that God has already forgiven you, God will reverse them. He will undo the forgiveness. So meaning that those sins will fall back on your head. Yeah, just the way the king ordered that that man be arrested. You know, the man had been released before. He was owing millions of dollars. And he begged, and he was forgiven that debt. But when it was now discovered that the man refused to forgive another person that was owing him just a few thousand dollars, the king now ordered that he should be arrested. So which means that when you don't forgive others, even those things God has forgiven you will be undone. They will be reversed. Yeah. So God will now demand that you pay for those things. That you pay with your life for those things. And you pay for anything. Of course you can. Yeah, you can. So this issue of forgiveness, if you think it's a small thing in heaven, you need to change your mind right now. If you think the issue of forgiving people is a small thing, is a light thing, yeah, or that person hurts me, I can never forgive. In fact, I have to retaliate. If you think it's just a small thing, then you're not ready to make heaven. And not only that, you're not ready to receive mercy from God. I pray that the Lord, I've tried as much as I can to explain this to you. I pray that the Lord will help you to do what is right. In Jesus' name. Let us move to point number two. Point number two says, you are weakened if you cannot love others. You are weakened if you cannot love others. Let us look at Luke chapter 6, verse 32 to 36. Luke chapter 6, to 36. For if ye love them which love you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also do even the same. That is, what is so special in that? That's another way to say, what thanks have ye? That is, what's so special? If you only do good to those that do good to you, if you only love those that love you, even unbelievers do the same. So you have not done anything special. Yeah, verse 34. Luke 6, 34. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thing have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Verse 35. But love ye your enemies. That is what Jesus is saying. But love ye your enemies. This is not me that said this. This is Jesus. Yeah, not even one of the apostles that said this. It's Jesus that said this. Yeah. It says, but love ye your enemies. And do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Yeah. So my point says, you are weakened if you cannot love others, if you cannot love your enemies. You are weakened because you were also an enemy of God at one time, and yet God loved you and called you to repentance and to salvation. Then why do you hate your enemies? Yeah, why do you only love people that love you? Why do you only do good to people that do good to you? Yeah. I pray that you will be wise and start doing what is right. in the sight of God. Let us move to point three. To be merciful is to pray for others. To be merciful is to pray for others. Let us look at James chapter 5, verse 16. James. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To be merciful is to pray for others. Remember, our topic says mercy for the merciful. To be merciful is to pray for others. If you only pray for yourself, there are some mercies you will not get from God. But when you pray for others, there are some mercy you will get from God. Yeah, let me repeat myself. If you only pray for yourself, there are some mercies you will not get from God. But if you take time to pray for others, there are certain mercies you will get from God. I mean, you will only get those kind of mercies until you start praying for others. Yeah. So God expects that we pray for ourselves. Yeah, he expects that we pray for ourselves in the body of Christ so that all of us will be healed. The reason why some people are healed, some others are not healed, is because we don't care about one another. We don't love one another. Yeah, it's because we are not praying for one another. That is why some among us are not healed. Yeah, so even the person that is sick should be praying for another person. Yeah, but the person that is sick is expecting someone to come and pray for him or her. Yeah, why not forget about your own problem and pray for another? In the process of praying for the other person, Jesus will be healing you. Yeah, if you think you understand how God operates, you're just deceiving yourself. God operates in mysterious ways. Yeah. And it's possible that thing you have been failing to do all this while, maybe you are ashamed or you are afraid to do that thing, or you just don't feel like doing that thing. It could be that is the secret of your breakthrough. It could be that is where the secret to your breakthrough is. It could be that is where it is. But that is what you have been failing to do for a long time because you just care only about yourself. You don't care about another person. Yeah, so if you think you understand how God operates and how the kingdom of God operates, you are just deceiving yourself. Yeah, how can you explain that someone is sick? I'll just give you an example. How can you explain that a sick person should be praying for another sick person? You know, a sick person should be praying for him or herself to be healed. Isn't it? A sick person should be praying for him or herself to be healed, or asking for others to pray for him or her. But now the Bible is saying that even a sick person should pray for another sick person, even while he or she is not yet healed. Because in the process, that sick person will also be healed. But how many of you can do that? You are suffering, and you actually need to focus on your own self, that you come out of the suffering. And then you just forget about your own suffering. And then you are praying for another person that is suffering some way. How many of you can do that? Yeah. But that is how God operates. It looks unreasonable, right? It looks like it doesn't make sense, right? But that is how God operates. So until you begin to care less about yourself, and you begin to care more about others, there are some mercies you will never get from God. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. When I understood this divine principle, I stopped praying for myself. I have stopped praying for myself for a long, since a long time ago. The only time I pray for myself is if I realize that I couldn't pray for others. Maybe I'm having a problem and it's not allowing me to pray for others. So I have to say, God, please fix this problem, because I want to continue to pray for others. I want to continue to be a blessing to others. Yeah. So I don't really care about myself. I only care about myself when it has to do with others. Not because it has to do with myself. Yeah. So when I understood how heaven operates, then I stopped praying for myself. And I've stopped since a long time ago. Yeah. So, the earlier you understand this and agree with this, the better for you. So let's move to the last point. Point number four. Desire to help others than to be helped. Desire to help others than to be helped. I don't know if you get that. Desire to help others than to receive help from others. That's another way to say it. Desire to help others than to be helped by others. Let us look at chapter 20 of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 35. Acts 20, 35. I have healed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. This is Apostle Paul talking to the leaders, church leaders, because he was going to depart from them. He said, I have healed you all things, how that soul laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So you should desire to give than to receive. Desire to help others than to be helped. Yeah, I've told you before when I start, when I entered into full-time ministry, I think I shared this with you before. Yeah, when I resigned from my work and I decided to stay with the Lord. I've not even started any serious ministry work. I just resigned to stay with God, to be with the Lord. Yeah, because I was no longer comfortable working in the hospital. So I resigned so that I can focus on God alone. Yeah, so at that time, I was having the mind of, now that I'm not working to earn salary, yeah, so I don't need to give money. People, that they want to give me since I'm not working. So I don't need to give out. People are the ones to give me. I thought that was right. I mean, I thought that was the right thing to do. Not knowing that, I was very wrong. And I thank God that the Holy Spirit corrected me at that time. Because if I had continued with that mentality, I can't be where I am today. And I would have suffered a lot. Yeah. The Holy Spirit corrected me through this verse. I mean, he corrected me from this verse that it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to help others than to be waiting to be helped. Yeah, so from that time, I made up my mind that even though I'm not working, whatever I get, I will give. Yeah. Whatever I gain that no longer be mine, I will give it out. I will only take from it the one Jesus wants me to take for myself. The rest shall not be mine. Yeah. And from that time, my financial life have been wonderful. Yeah, from the time I made up my mind that whatever I get shall no longer be mine, shall be for others. That I will only take from me the one Jesus permits me to take from it. I will only take from whatever I receive what Jesus permit that I take from it. So the rest must go out. From the day I made that decision, my financial life has never remained the same again. Yeah, because I never lacked. Up to now, I never lacked. So you will receive mercy if you have this mindset. You will always receive mercy from God if you have this mindset that you are living to help others and not to get help from others. Yeah, because I know some pastors that they're always waiting for someone to give to them. Why they are not giving out, or they are giving just very little. And that is why their lives is not changing. Up to now, many of them, I know them, they are very poor and they are suffering. Because they are always waiting for people to come and give to them. They are not giving out. They are not helping out. So they have a very wrong mindset. Yeah. I pray that you will not have that mindset. So that God can show you mercy. I pray you will determine in your heart that your entire life must be to help others, to bless others, to bless your generation, and not to be waiting for people to come and bless you. It's not as if people come and say, I want to bless you, I want to help you. You say, no, I don't need the help. No. Of course, if God sent people to bless you, you have to receive the blessing, because it's not actually from the people, it's from God. But this point is saying that you must change that mentality in your head that keeps telling you that you are a poor man or you are a poor woman, and that you just have to receive from people, that you have nothing to give. You have a lot to give. Yeah. You have a lot to give. A lot to give out. Even a lot that is beyond money. And then if you think, I don't have much, even from that little, give. Yeah. You don't have much, but that little, can it solve your problem? Yeah. You say you don't have much, that you only have little. And then that little that you have, can it solve your problem? So if it can't solve your problem, why hold on to it? Give it out. Give from that little. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Is the Lord. Yeah. You know what is happening to my next song? Yeah, well, I believe you can hear me now. Yeah, I believe you can hear me. Yeah, so we are praying now. You're going to say, Father, please be merciful unto me. Forgive me for being unmerciful. Say, Father, forgive me for being unmerciful. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. If you repent, God is going to forgive you. If you repent and determine to change, God is going to forgive you. Say, Father, please have mercy on me. Forgive me for being unmerciful. Forgive me for being unmerciful. Forgive me for not showing mercy to others. Forgive me for not showing love to others. Forgive me for not forgiving others, those that hurt me. Forgive me for not forgiving them. Because I'm going to change now. I'm repenting now. Continue to pray like that. I want you to pray this prayer seriously because the Holy Spirit is showing me that many of you, your life has not moved forward because you did not forgive some people for a long time. You refuse to forgive those people. That is why your life has not moved forward. Yeah, even though the person was wrong, you have to forgive. Yeah, you have to. You have to. It's a serious thing. Yeah, in fact, that could be the reason why you are not healed. You are not yet healed. Because you have not forgiven. Even though you told the person, I forgive you, but deep down in your heart, you have not actually forgiven. Ask God to forgive you for not doing that, for not forgiving others, for being so wicked, for being so unmerciful. Say, Father, I repent today. Some of you, you need to do things that shows that you have forgiven that person. Yeah, maybe you need to call the person and greet the person and call the person, show love to the person practically to prove that you have actually forgiven the person. So maybe you need to visit the person, hug the person. Yeah, to prove that you have actually forgiven the person. Because until you do things, you might never be healed and delivered, even in the next 20 years. The Father, I repent today. I repent today for not showing mercy to others. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. We have two more prayer points. Yeah, you know, I've had some people, some Christians say things like, I want God to speak to me first before I'm going to give. Well, it's not in every case you have to wait for God to speak to you before you give. Yeah. In fact, in most cases, you don't need to wait for God to speak to you. Yeah, especially when you have compared that action with the scriptures, and you know that if it agrees with the scripture, yeah. For instance, you know that you are helping someone that is a Christian, that is a believer, and you know that that person really need the help at that time. Yeah, and then you know that the person will use the money to for good things, not for evil. Yeah, you don't need pray. In fact, God is not going to speak to you if you are not eager to help people. God is not going to speak to you. Yeah, God will lead you when he sees that you really want to help a lot of people. Then he will lead you. But if you are saying, "I'll let God come and speak to me first," but deep down in your heart, you actually don't want to help, God is not going to speak to you. Yeah. Yeah. So in most cases, you should give because you love. So when you give out of love, that giving is correct, is acceptable. Yeah, anything you do out of love is acceptable because God is love. Yeah. But when you are moving in love, I mean, you want to give out of love, and then the Holy Spirit restricted you not to do it, then you should listen to the Holy Spirit and wait. Yeah, maybe it's not the right time to do that. Or maybe you're not the one to do that for that person. Yeah, but if you are just waiting that the Holy Spirit will come and tell you without that eagerness in you to help people, You will wait till 10 years. The Holy Spirit will not tell you anything. But when that eagerness is in you to help, to love, that desire is in you to give. Yeah. And then you take time to do it. Then the Holy Spirit will start leading you and will start guiding you. But if you are waiting that the Holy Spirit will come before you do it, it might never come. But when you move ahead to do it, because you have compared with the scriptures, and you know that you are doing the right thing, yeah, then that is acceptable. And it is at that point the Holy Spirit will start leading you, because he knows that you really want to help. So you are going to pray for that heart of giving. Most times people that say they are waiting for God to come and speak to them, if you check their heart, most times they are greedy people, and they are selfish people. They are stingy people. Yeah. If we check their heart. Yeah. So God will start speaking when you start making move to help people. That's when God will start speaking. When you start doing it, when you start giving out, then God will start speaking to you as to how much you should give, when you should give, who you should give, who you should not give to. Or if you don't do anything, you don't make any move, or maybe you are waiting for people to come and ask you. When you are a giver doesn't wait for people to come and ask before they give. Yeah, if you are waiting for people to come and ask, you are not yet a giver. You are not yet a giver. But when you do it even without anyone asking, then you are a giver. Yeah, so you are going to pray. You are going to say, Father, create in me a giving heart. Create in me a giving heart. A heart that always wants to help others. A heart that doesn't wait for others to come and ask. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The whole Lord created me a giving heart. If you think you have a giving heart, ask God to help that heart to grow in you. If you think you already have a giving heart, ask God to give more grace to that heart, so that you can do more for him and his kingdom. Ask God to perfect that heart, so that you can do more for him and his kingdom. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. And lastly, you're going to pray. You're going to ask for grace to pray for others. Say, Father, give me grace to pray for others, to put my own problem aside, to put my own need aside, and pray seriously for others. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. So don't say, it is pastor's business to pray for others. Oh, this is for people that have the calling of an intercessor. You are deceiving yourself. Every Christian has been called to pray for others. Yeah. Every Christian has been called to pray for others. Say, Father, give me the grace to pray for others, forgetting about my own self, my own needs, my own desires, but to pray for others, to pray for those that are in darkness so that they can see the light. Give me the heart that prays for others. The heart that cares only about others. The heart that prays for those that are not yet born again so that they can be born again. Give me that heart. The heart that prays for those that are sick so that they can be healed. Give me that heart. The heart that prays for those that are suffering, that are being oppressed and attacked by the enemy. Give me such heart that prays for people until their problems are solved. Give me such heart. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be praying for you now. I believe your water is ready. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for your mercy upon our lives. Thank you for being so compassionate that you send this message to us today. If not for your compassion, you will not be telling us things like this today. It is because you want to help us. Thank you for showing us how it is so important that we become merciful, for us to receive mercy from you. I ask, O Lord, that you help everyone here to obey your word, even this message they have just heard from my mouth. O Lord, help them to obey your word in Jesus' name. I pray for you that you will be qualified to receive mercy from God at this time. In the name of Jesus, I pray that the things God is demanding from you that will qualify you for his mercy at this time, I pray that you will do those things in the name of Jesus. I pray that the Holy Spirit help you to do those things in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of bitterness, anger, malice that is making it so hard for you to forgive some people, I cast out that spirit from your life right now. In the name of Jesus, every sickness and problems that unforgiving spirits have created. created in your life. Because you have repented today, I command the problem to disappear in the name of Jesus. As you make up your mind today to be merciful, I pray that the mercy of God shall always remain and dwell upon your life and upon your family in the name of Jesus. I pray for the power of Jesus to enter into your water right now. Let the healing power of Jesus, the deliverance power of Jesus, the sanctifying power of Jesus, the transforming power of Jesus, enter into this water right now in Jesus' name. Through this water, your sicknesses, weaknesses, infirmities, pollution of darkness, seed of darkness, plantation of darkness shall be completely removed from your life, from your body, from your soul, from your spirit. In the name of Jesus, the Lord shall walk through this water to do mighty things in your life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen.